Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, teach us to pray is the request, is the ask of the disciple to Jesus in our gospel lesson today. And I did not plan a sermon series on the middle chapters of the Gospel of Luke. The lectionary has us here reading the Gospel of Luke this year, and it has been very rich, I believe, for us as a congregation to have been reading through, especially these last chapters, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, these great chapters in the Gospel of Luke about discipleship, the great discipleship passages. And those continue today with this petition from the disciple to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And he does. Jesus teaches them to pray, and this is what he taught them. There are three things that I pulled from this that I think are important for us today. Three ways that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He taught them that prayer is more than myself and my requests. He taught them that prayer is to be humble for sure, but also that in prayer there is an element of boldness and shamelessness. And then third, he taught the disciple, all the disciples and us today, that to pray is to be in community. Okay? So, again, as has been the case a few times in the last few weeks, we have a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, don't we? In fact, this passage of Scripture, the Lord's Prayer, is one that every one of us knows by heart, isn't it? We all know the Lord's Prayer. We say it perhaps daily, at least weekly, perhaps multiple times a day. We know this passage like the back of my hand. And so there's a danger, though, in knowing Scripture too closely. We can never know Scripture too closely, but the danger is that when we read passages like this, that we read them and we move on because we want to see what's next. That's the danger of it, right? That we get there and we're like, oh yeah, I know the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to skip on to the next part. Well, that's a danger, friends. We need to know, we need to see what it is that the Lord is teaching us in these very rich chapters, especially these here in the middle of the Gospel of Luke, because they are so rich in discipleship. So, Jesus is continuing to teach the disciples. Remember in Luke chapter 9, he has turned his face. They are on their way to Jerusalem. That he is singularly focused on his own crucifixion, his death, his glorious resurrection, and showing himself to the disciples and to all of us. Jesus' face is turned to Jerusalem now. And what we see now as we begin chapter 11 is that Jesus is continuing to teach the disciples how to be a disciple. He's continuing to teach us how to be a disciple of his. And this week, he is teaching us how to do that through prayer. Okay. So, the request is made that Lord, teach us how to pray. And he immediately begins to teach them, and he gives them the Lord's Prayer, one that we know very, very much. And then right after the Lord's Prayer, when he says, when you pray, say this, he goes into this story, this really interesting story, almost confusing in parts, this immediate story telling them about this man who is at home in bed. In fact, his entire household is at home in bed asleep because it is the middle of the night. And it's the middle of the night, and you can imagine in a society that did not have electricity, that when it's the middle of the night, it's dark, it's quiet, there's nothing going on, and all of a sudden the neighbor comes and knocks on the door. It's the middle of the night. And also at this time, not only was there no electricity anywhere, but most people lived in a one-room home. So everyone was asleep together in the same small room. So if a neighbor comes and knocks on the door in the middle of the night, guess what's going to happen? Everybody wakes up. Everybody gets up. It could be a bother. That can be a bother. And, you know, who knows? I don't know if the neighbor had little kids or not. And if so, that would have really been a bother, trying to get those kids back to sleep, right? So the neighbor comes over. He knocks on the door, and he's asking for some bread in the middle of the night because he has a friend who has just come in off of a long journey. And in that journey, the guest became tired and hungry, and it is only appropriate that the host have something to eat. Well, he doesn't. He hasn't prepared very well, has he? He does not have anything to eat. So he goes and he knocks on the door in the middle of the night and wakes everybody up next door. Okay. So in these two instances, in Jesus giving the disciples the Lord's Prayer, and in this persistent neighbor coming and knocking on the door in the middle of the night, are the first 2 points of what I'm trying to say to us today. So the first one is that he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And that is that first point. Prayer is more than myself and more than my desires. So when we begin to pray, especially in the Lord's Prayer, we begin by addressing God, calling him Father. And in doing so, in that simple acknowledgement of who God is, we are exalting him where he to his place of prestige by calling him Father. And then we ask the Father for his kingdom to come on earth. And then we make a humble request for sustenance for today. We ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we ask to have the heart to forgive others. We request that in our forgiveness, that we are sheltered from further sin. Prayer is more than myself and my requests. Prayer is an appeal to the Creator of the world in an acknowledgement of his goodness, of his mercy, of his salvation. And then continuing on, you know, we had these, I've sort of divided this passage into two sections, verses 1 through 8, and then verses 9 through 13. But in verses 1 through 8, after the Lord's Prayer, we also learn that prayer is humble, but prayer also needs to be bold and shameless. Now, perhaps you, your mind will go to, or will recognize later on in our service, when we pray the Lord's Prayer during the consecration prayers right before communion, we say we are bold to pray. Okay, this is sort of the boldness that I'm talking about here, right? So prayer needs to be bold and shameless. So we read in these passages that this man, because of his impudence, this neighbor who comes and knocks on the door in the middle of the night, because of his impudence, there's a fun Greek word that is used there. It's called anadion. His anadion. Anadion means impudence, but it also means persistence, shamelessness, boldness. So this man has this boldness to come and knock on his friend's door in the middle of the night. Because of this boldness, the friend would indeed arise. He would get up and he would give the man the bread. Now, you might also be thinking, as I did when I was thinking about this passage this week, if I'm the man who is getting woken up in the middle of the night by the neighbor, you know, friend, poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part, does it? All right? Well, let's reframe our thoughts on that a little bit, because in this scenario, in this story that Jesus tells, the sleeping neighbor, the one who is asleep, is God. God is the sleeping neighbor in this situation. And we are the impudent neighbor. We are the one who comes knocking and asking in the middle of the night. And here's the hopeful reality in that, is that God doesn't think the way that I think. When I think that, no, you're bothering me, I'm not waking up in the middle of the night. God's okay with that. The Lord is okay with that. The Lord always welcomes our prayers. Day, night, He welcomes our prayers in good times and in bad times. Even when we feel like we might be bothering Him with our requests, He wakes up. He listens to us. He hears us. And again, the hopeful reality is that our prayers are never a bother to God. He desires to hear us. He desires to listen to us. This is how we interact with God. It is never a burden to Him when we pray. And He desires our prayers to be bold and shameless. Then we move on to the latter part of this passage, verses 9 through 13. And that final point that I want to make for today, that prayer, to be in prayer is to be in community. To be in prayer is to be in community. We might even say to be in prayer is to be in God's family. Jesus uses the analogy of family here in this passage to help us, to make His point. He reiterates to us the bold shamelessness by teaching us to ask, to seek, and to knock, to come in the middle of the night, knocking on God's door, asking Him for what we need. And again, he is using this fatherly, familial language. And in doing so, Jesus is appealing to the nature of the love that we have for our children. Right? If my son, who one of my sons is here this morning, the other one was at the 8 o'clock service, so I got to use him as the example there. And then the other one is in the back. So if Ben comes to me, and he asks me for a fish, and he loves to go fishing, so maybe I should ask him. There you go. Now, if my son asks me for a fish, am I going to give him a snake instead? Or if my son were to ask me for an egg, for something to eat, would I give him a scorpion, something that could harm him? No, of course not. Of course that wouldn't be the case. I want what is best for my son. We all want what is best for our children. Let me even consider another scenario for us here. What if my son came to me and he asked me for a scorpion? Would I give him the scorpion? No, of course not. Because I know what is best for him. I know it is not best for him to have something that could potentially hurt him or harm him or put him in danger's way. I would not do that to my son because I know what's best for him. This is the Father's love that He has for all of his children who ask and seek and knock. We may think that we know what we want or what we need, but again, the hopeful reality in that is that we cannot see what God sees. There is an immensity, there is a magnitude to God that we don't know of, that we can't know. We don't see what God sees, but He always knows what is best for us. And if me personally, am a sinner, the way that Jesus says to the disciples is that if you then, who are evil, if I, who am evil, who am a sinner, if I know how to give good gifts to my son, I know not to give him a scorpion or a snake when he's asking for a fish or an egg, and I know not to give him a scorpion when he asks for a scorpion. If I know that, even though I am sinful and evil, how much better, how much greater is the great and wonderful and amazing gifts that God gives to His people through that great power of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing, hopeful encouragement that is to know that to pray is to be in a community of family. To pray is to be in community and family with God. So, last week, those of you who were here know that I gave you some homework. And thank you to everyone who did participate in that activity. I have heard back from many of you. I'm trying to respond to everyone, but I'm falling a little bit behind because so many of you have have participated and reached out to me, and thank you for that. But the activity, for those of you who weren't here, was to spend 30 minutes, at least 30 minutes consecutively, in one verse of Scripture. And that verse was Matthew 4:4. And to see what it is during that 30-minute period that the Lord is saying to you through His Word. So if you would like to do that this week, please do. 30 minutes in that one verse, Matthew 4:4. Pray about it. Ponder what it is the Lord is trying to tell you right now in that passage. So I've heard back from many of you, and everyone who gave me feedback so far said that it was a very good exercise. It was beneficial, and I know that it produced some really beautiful thoughts and words because I've read so many of them so far. Well, this week I want to offer you another exercise, some more homework, if you will. This time on prayer. Okay, last week it was on meditating on God's word. This week it's going to be on prayer. So I am requesting you to be bold and shameless in your prayer requests this week. Okay? So as you feel led, I encourage you to go to someone and ask for prayer. Go to someone and ask for prayer. Make it a specific prayer request. Be bold enough to do that. Now, I know those of us who are on the more introverted side, that's a very difficult ask. But I think you'll be blessed by it, just as so many were blessed by the practice in meditating on God's word in Matthew last week. So, ask someone for prayer, and then ask to pray for someone as well. Be bold. Be shameless in that ask. It's not bothersome or troublesome to go knocking on the door. I'll start. I'm asking all of you if you'll pray for our family as we begin vacation. Tomorrow, we're on vacation. We're actually going to leave later this afternoon, get some driving behind us today. So in that prayer request, I ask you to pray for our family, pray for safe travel, for rest, and for good family time, especially before we send our oldest off to college in just a couple of weeks. And then I've got a further prayer request. Pray for me, because after our family time, I'm going to be spending a few days on a silent retreat at a monastery in Pennsylvania. So I request your prayers. I'm being bold in asking this. I pray for your prayers for my head. Many of you know that I have been dealing with head pain that has not subsided for 1 minute of 1 hour of 1 day for 2 years now. So I'm asking you for prayers for that. Pray for my head. For renewal, for rest, for refreshment also. As I look forward to the coming days, weeks, and months in not only our life together, but in the amazing things that are happening in the development of Church Place, our new future permanent church home. The Lord is doing a major work in that, and it's it requires a lot of prayer, requires a lot of work, a lot of planning. So I'm asking you to pray for that as well. I'm also, so that's my prayer request for all of you. You know this, but I just want to reiterate the fact that we have prayer teams after communion that are here for you. And if you have maybe been hesitant on going to the prayer team after communion in the past, maybe this is the nudge that you needed to go, to see them, to ask for prayer, to be bold in your prayer requests to our prayer team. They're going to be, Lindy, in the kitchen? Where is? Yes, in the kitchen area. So go and ask for prayer requests from them. They're here for you, to pray for you. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has given us a great gift. A great gift in forming us as His disciples through prayer. So we go to Him in prayer, boldly to ask, to seek, and to knock. And so then, let us all open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to the full and binding awareness of the goodness of the Creator of heaven and earth, God our Father. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.